You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Rockets, your home for podcast analysis of all things Houston Rockets basketball. I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent for Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship. As we chat this Tuesday, the landscape of the free agency market for the Rockets is not all that different than our Monday show on day two of free agency, still waiting to see what the Rockets do with their taxpayer MLE at about $5.3 million per year. Still waiting to see what happens with the status of two of their own free agents still on the board, Clint Capella and Luke Bahamute. We wait to see if either through the MLE or through an external trade, there's a way to bring in an extra veteran wing to help replace the production from Trevor Ariza at the small forward spot. But generally, as I'm recording this Tuesday, not a lot seems to have changed in the landscape since Monday. We had a lot of movement early Monday, right after the LeBron James news shook up the NBA late Sunday night, but now that the LeBron domino has fallen and the first night has passed, we seem to be in a little bit of a slower pace with news, which is somewhat to be expected with so few teams having cap room. A lot of folks said going into free agency that things were going to move at a slower pace than what most Julys are like due to the lack of room and agents and players trying to extract every dollar they can, trying desperately, as we've seen with Clint Capella, to find someone somewhere to help them with leverage. So today's update isn't going to be so much about things that are new with the Rockets themselves. Instead, what I'm going to do today is discuss the news that's pretty much shaken up the NBA as a whole, and that's DeMarcus Cousins signing with, of all teams, the Golden State Warriors for just the taxpayer MLE at $5.3 million per year. And my initial reaction, just like a lot of you that I saw on Twitter, when it happened, I was demoralized. It sucks as someone who follows the Rockets. It sucks as a fan of the game. He's an all-star, a team that already had four, now somehow has five, and it makes their upside even greater, and it's unfortunate. If I could change it, I absolutely would. That said, I am not as down on it as a lot of folks seem to be, at least from the standpoint of, well, what's the point of even trying to compete if you're a team like the Rockets? Because in my opinion, there are some downside scenarios to this. There's certainly some upside, as mentioned earlier. This is a guy who clearly raises their ceiling on just a one-to-one basis. He is better than Kevon Looney, Jordan Bell, JaVale McGee, anyone the Warriors had at the five spot last year. And as much as we talked about their margin of error with four All-Stars being so much greater than the Rockets and anyone else, well, now they have five. So even if there's an injury, they have a little bit more immunity than most other teams would have, even the Rockets with James Harden and Chris Paul. So, yes, I do find it unfortunate, especially for a team, the rich getting richer, being able to sign a talent like that for just the taxpayer MLE, it's a little bit ridiculous. That said, I don't find it devastating because there are some very real downside scenarios to where it might not improve the Warriors much from last year, and in some of them, it might actually make them a little bit worse. So in today's show, I'm going to look at it from three standpoints. First, the X's and O's. Second, the chemistry. And then finally, what it means for the Rockets and why, even at the bargain basement price of the taxpayer MLE, which the Rockets have as well, I don't think there's anything the Rockets could have done in terms of pitching him to join Houston because there's just no way to play DeMarcus Cousins and Clint Capella together. It would have been one or the other, and in my opinion, Clint Capella, the far superior bet. But first, let's look at the X's and O's. The positive is obvious. He's just a more talented player than the options the Warriors had at the five spot a year ago. That said, it's far from a given that this actually is an upgrade. For starters, defense is half of the game, and for the Warriors, especially relative to the Rockets, which is what we're about here at Locked On Rockets, what are the angles that impact Houston, what makes the Warriors so difficult is their switching. The fact, of course, with the death lineup, with the big four plus Andre Iguodala, but even their centers, the likes of Kevon Looney, Jordan Bell, they can play in space, and even when isolated onto Chris Paul or James Harden, Looney proved at times in the Western Conference Finals that he was a lot more adept than any of us, myself included, thought. DeMarcus Cousins cannot do that. He doesn't move his feet well, and that's before the Achilles injury. Now you have a guy who didn't move his feet well coming into a switching scheme off an injury that, let's just be frank, is debilitating. The reason DeMarcus Cousins was on the market for such a low rate was in part because of the Achilles injury, and all you need to do is Google Achilles tear NBA, and it is a brutal, brutal history. Perhaps the most noteworthy is the one that happened to Kobe Bryant in 2013, which effectively ended his career, was never remotely the same guy after coming back. But even if you want to point to Kobe's age at the time, in his mid-30s, and say, well, DeMarcus is 28, okay, well, Wes Matthews, that's a guy earlier this decade who at 28 years old tore his Achilles in Portland, has never been remotely the same guy in Dallas since. A decade ago, it was Elton Brand, who is probably a very comparable guy to Boogie Cousins in terms of his position, his body type. He tore his Achilles, was never remotely the same after doing so. He was also just 28 years old. So no, the terrible career-altering Achilles injuries are not just to guys in their 30s who are on the decline anyway. It happens to guys in their 20s as well. It is a brutal injury because of the explosion, the lift that NBA players need to succeed at the highest level. And for a guy who's 280 pounds and puts such a pounding every time up and down the court on that foot, it may be an even bigger deal for a big man like DeMarcus Cousins. So the injury concerns, very real. I don't know that Boogie is even going to be 75-80% of what he was. Now, if he is, that's still pretty good. But again, it's not just as simple as looking at things in a vacuum. For starters, defensively, that's going to make what's already a bit of a deficiency even more so. And it's one that the Rockets in particular, with Chris Paul and James Harden, are poised to exploit, the way the Warriors traditionally are not afraid of even having their bigs switch onto the guards. And of course, they do that to prevent the Rockets, or any team for that matter, from getting the threes that they want to get. So defensively, it's definitely an impact. But even offensively, I think there's a lot of examples over NBA history and even recently of aging and or injured players whose bodies and minds are not in the same place, ultimately being a net negative for their teams. An example here in Houston, 2015-2016, when Dwight Howard was coming back, that was his third and final year in Houston, and the second year he missed half the season with a knee injury. Dwight still thought that he was an anchor. He wanted, infamously, more post touches. And in terms of just stats, physical presence, certainly toughness, Dwight was a better player one-on-one versus Clint Capela, who was the Rockets' backup at the time, a second-year international guy. But the Rockets played better with Capela on the court. In large part, that was because Capela was a better fit. He understood his limitations, his role, and he embraced it. Dwight had an idea that he was something he wasn't, and even if physically he had more tools at the time than Capela did, ultimately, the split between his body and his mind made it to where he was a bit of a net negative, at least relative to someone like Capela, who was able to get those minutes instead. You could see a similar dynamic play out last year in Oklahoma City with Carmelo Anthony versus Jeremy Grant, maybe even Patrick Patterson, the other options at the four spot. Carmelo Anthony, clearly a more talented player in isolation by himself, but in that third banana role, especially in a starting lineup that already had Russell Westbrook and Paul George, you'd ideally want a little bit more in terms of defense, off-the-ball play, maybe even having Carmelo come off the bench instead of starting so that you could utilize his skill sets in terms of isolation scoring more so than you could when he's the number three if he's starting. There's no question that if you just compare Carmelo Anthony to Jeremy Grant, Carmelo Anthony is the better, more talented basketball player. But in terms of the fit for that team, the Thunder were better when Carmelo was not on the court because he did not embrace the role. And maybe some of it's not his fault. Maybe some of it has to do with the coaching, the system under Russell Westbrook and Billy Donovan, etc., etc. But regardless of the reason, it was just an awkward fit. And yet again, fit mattered. I mentioned Dwight a couple of years ago and Carmelo last year because those are two recent examples that I think Rockets fans are familiar with. But this has happened throughout the NBA. In general, when you have these aging and or injured name stars that want more touches, more shots than their play warrants, and keep in mind, Boogie is going to be looking for a max deal next summer. That's why he signed for just 1 year, so he's definitely going to be incentive to put up some numbers. Sometimes that can be a net negative, especially if those touches and shots come at the expense of elite options elsewhere on the floor. That's especially the case in Golden State, where you have Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, etc., etc. You can go on and on. With guys like Kevon Looney and Jordan Bell, they're happy to move their feet defensively, they'll do the dirty work, they'll defer to Steph and KD on the offensive end, etc. With Cousins, that remains to be seen. And that's why you can't just look at it and say, well, even if Cousins is just 75% of his old self coming after injury, he's still better than Looney or Bell. It doesn't really work that way. Because if DeMarcus Cousins is going to come anywhere close to being the 2010 guy he's been for most of his now 8-year career in the NBA, it's not going to be that he's replacing touches and shots from Looney and Bell, because they weren't taking any. He would be replacing shots and touches for the likes of Durant, Curry, Klay Thompson, etc. That's a pretty high bar. Now, the upside is there. Boogie is a good passer, and if things work out, then it can be more efficient for everyone involved. That's the upside. But that's far, far from a guarantee. We have seen over and over again that even if, on paper, you say, wow, this guy's an upgrade, well, the shots just don't come from thin air. The shots, the touches, they are going to come from somewhere else. In many cases, it reminds me a lot of the Olympic teams, in which Team USA usually wins, but many times in Olympic play, the results are a lot closer than the talent in terms of Team USA versus whoever they're playing would make you think going in. And not that I'm comparing the Rockets to an Olympic team that's not Team USA. The gap between the Warriors and the Rockets is nowhere near what it is in Team USA. This is an extreme example. But the point is that with these Team USA squads, even though you have this overwhelming talent, at some point there is a point of diminishing returns, because only one guy can shoot on a given possession. So even if you're throwing LeBron James, KD, Chris Paul, James Harden, whatever fifth wheel you want to throw out there, you're not maximizing all of those guys, because at some point, there's just a limitation in terms of touches, shots that are out there. That's not to say that this is a mistake for Golden State. The upside is tantalizing, and ultimately, they could cut bait if they wanted to, although I think that's a little trickier than folks are making it seem. More on that in a moment. In general, though, it's a gamble that Golden State has to take at the price. I get it. But it's not as simple as just saying, well, Boogie Cousins is way better than Kevon Looney or Jordan Bell, even if he's just 75 or 80% of himself, and that's how much better the Warriors got as a team. No, in terms of how much better the Warriors get as a team, there are a ton of moving parts. First off, defense is a big part of that, and they're actually going to take a drop-off there. And offensively, while they can be better, there are a lot of questions in terms of how healthy Boogie's going to be, how much explosion he has, and also how his affinity for post-touches, for holding the ball too long, how that's going to mesh in a Warriors system that's all about precision, cutting, ball movement, etc., etc. Again, I see the upside. It's a move they had to make. I just think that the fatalistic reactions from a lot of folks around the NBA are overdoing it in terms of exactly what it means for the Warriors on the basketball floor. And the basketball floor is only part of the equation here when it comes to evaluating how Boogie fits with the Warriors and both his upside and downside scenarios. The other part of it is off the floor. Because folks, let me tell you, building an NBA contender, it's not just about putting the best names on a roster. They need to fit. One thing the Warriors have done incredibly well, not only do they have a lot of talent, it all fits together seamlessly. It's beautiful how those guys, those big four, complement one another. It's frustrating to watch if you're not a fan of them, but you have to give them their due. So Boogie Cousins, while he's a gamble they had to make at the price, it's far from a done deal that just because he's a bigger name that it's going to work out on the floor or off. Because if he's not getting the touches that he wants, the shots that he wants, this is a guy who has played 8 NBA seasons and has not been in the playoffs once. Now, maybe he would have been this year if he hadn't gotten hurt in New Orleans. Who knows how that turns out. But even if you want to take this year out of the mix, that's 7. And I'm sure some will say, well, he spent pretty much his entire career in Sacramento. Okay, well, over half of NBA teams are in the playoffs. That is not an especially high bar. I think you could put James Harden on virtually any team in the NBA, and the odds are that team would make the playoffs that season. It is not a high bar to get in the neighborhood of 500 to be in playoff consideration. I was a little bit higher this year in the West, but those Kings teams were never anywhere close. There are some documented concerns off the court. We've heard his run-ins with other players, coaches, certainly the officials. So there is a bit of a combustible risk when it comes to chemistry. For all you can say about how things have worked in Golden State, they have never added a player that had this level of past, at least in terms of being a star. Now, you can point to role players that they blended in, but this is not a role player. This is a guy who's been treated like a star his entire NBA career and obviously still thinks he is, as evidenced by the one-year deal that he signed. The one-year deal is extremely significant because it shows you that, no, he's not in Golden State long-term because he just wants to be selfless and fit into this system. No, he wanted a big deal this summer. He didn't get it. So now he's trying to position himself as best he can to get a payday next summer when a lot more teams have cap room. So he is going to have eyes on that next contract the entire time. And no, it's not going to be with the Warriors because they don't have full bird rights. They can only offer him a deal starting at $6.4 million. That's nowhere near enough for a guy who, prior to the Achilles injury, certainly was seen as a full max candidate. And if he's even a fraction of what he was, he'll still be in that ballpark, especially with more teams having cap room. So you're looking at a guy who is clearly going to be playing for his next contract, who has a history of being combustible, who is not by himself been a winner at any stop on the road of his NBA career. There's risk to that. The guy that he's directly replacing, my guess is he also sort of replaces Looney because Looney's a free agent and he may bolt for greener pastures or at least the opportunity to play more. But JaVale McGee, who he directly replaces, McGee signed with the Lakers. McGee played a lot for the Warriors in various playoff series, barely played at all in the Western Conference Finals because they just didn't think he was a good fit for the Rockets. In part because of many of the same factors we cited with Boogie, inability to move on the perimeter and switch. Well, McGee didn't make a fuss. He took his demotion and was a good soldier. It remains to be seen if DeMarcus Cousins would be willing to do something like that. That's an example of demeanor off the court, chemistry being very, very real, a consideration that needs to be taken into account. By the way, one thing I should have mentioned earlier in the X's and O's segment, but it looks like Boogie won't be able to return until December or January, according to Adrian Wojnarowski. If that's the case, in addition to having a smaller window to fit him in from a chemistry standpoint, both on and off the court, then it's also nearly half the season that the Warriors will be tying up their MLE in someone that's not even playing. So it may give the Rockets even more of an avenue to get the number one seed again, just like they had this past year. But to get back to the point, which in this segment is about the fit. Dwight Howard, I mentioned him earlier as an example of someone who on the floor wouldn't really accept the role a couple of years ago in Houston to where, I don't know if he became a huge negative, but certainly he was not as much of a positive as his presence and his individual stat line might indicate. Dwight, after reaching a buyout agreement with the Brooklyn Nets a couple of weeks ago, there have been numerous reports that he was interested in joining the Warriors, yet the Warriors were not interested in Dwight. Well, folks, Dwight Howard, this is a guy who averaged 17 and 13 last year with almost 2 blocks per game. He is definitely better individually in a vacuum than Kevon Looney, Jordan Bell, JaVale McGee, etc. The Warriors didn't want him because of fit, because of these concerns that we have laid out in the downside scenarios. Now, my guess is that they're willing to take the gamble on Cousins, even though it's the same price. They could have offered the MLE to Dwight as well, but with Cousins, he's younger. He's also, when healthy, better. So they're probably a little more willing to gamble on Boogie than they would be on Dwight. But either way, the downside scenarios that are there with Dwight, to the point where even though he's a clearly better player than Looney or Bell, the Warriors weren't interested, those are there with Boogie as well. Even though they're lesser players, you know that Looney, Bell, McGee, if they don't play in a game or two, they're not going to raise a fuss. If they don't get a lot of touches, they're still going to be happy to move their feet defensively to give you peak effort and defer to the likes of Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, who you want to maximize every second that they are in the game because of their insane elite levels of efficiency. All those things are questions with DeMarcus. And I've seen a lot of folks minimizing the downside risks by saying that, well, if it doesn't work out, Golden State can just cut him. To me, that's ignoring some downsides as well. For starters, there's a lot of politics involved in terms of being willing to cut or outright bench a guy who obviously took a gamble on you in the first place and signed for well below market rate at the taxpayer MLE in Boogie Cousins' case to go there. But it's also going to be a very fine line for Steve Kerr to walk if things start going poorly for Boogie in the regular season, because you're going to be essentially torn between two schools of thought. You want to hold him accountable for his miscues, and if things aren't going well, you want to just get back to what you were. But at the same time, there's also going to be that tantalizing upside, wondering, what if he gets it by the time it really matters in May against the Rockets in the Western Conference Finals, or LeBron's team, or the Thunder in the second round? It's not as easy as it sounds to just cut bait and say, well, it's not working, because there's always going to be that sense gnawing at you in the back of your mind of, am I doing this too soon? But even if they're willing to do that, then there's still an opportunity cost to using the mid-level exception. For example, last year, the Warriors used their MLE on Nick Young. And say what you will about Nick Young, he made some big shots in the Western Conference Finals. They could have used the MLE on more perimeter depth this year, actually healthy perimeter depth that probably could have played 82 games, because anyone would probably take a discount to play for the Warriors. That's been proven over and over again. Well, now the MLE is off the board. So even if you want to throw out this downside scenario of, well, you can mitigate it by just letting Boogie go and fall back on what you had, well, you're missing a chance to upgrade your team otherwise because you did use your MLE. As mentioned earlier, I think signing Boogie is also likely to cost them Kevon Looney, who definitely was a difference maker in the Western Conference Finals in terms of his ability to play without the ball, especially defensively, how well he held up on an island on switches, even against James Harden and Chris Paul. Again, none of this is meant to diminish the upside. It's there, and if I could change it in terms of having Boogie go anywhere else but the Warriors, I would. I'm not happy with that. That said, what I am trying to push back against is this narrative of inevitability that because the Warriors did this, the season is over. There's no point to trying to compete or watch or any of the other fatalistic takes that have been thrown out there on social media and some of the entertainment programs on television and everywhere else. There are some upside scenarios where that could be the case, but there's some very real downside scenarios as well to where it doesn't help the Warriors, or in some cases it might even hurt them a little bit relative to what they had this past year and or what they could have had they used the MLE for someone else this offseason. How will it turn out? I don't know. I would change it if I could. I ultimately don't think it helps the Rockets, but I also don't think it's this death blow to where it just completely changes your outlook and now you just feel radically different than you did 24 hours ago about the Rockets and their ability to compete with the Warriors. It's not fun. It's not great. But I also don't think it's a death blow, and there are plenty of things that the Rockets can do themselves to counter. Now, for the final segment, I want to spin it towards what we led off, or finished, I should say, segment two saying, which is the things the Rockets can do themselves. And one question that's been thrown out a lot today in terms of the Boogie Cousins news is, why didn't the Rockets try to make a play themselves? If he was available for the taxpayer MLE, the Rockets have that at their disposal. They haven't used it yet. Why weren't the Rockets in on this market? And to me, there's a pretty clear reason for that, and it's the presence of Clint Capela. Yes, I understand that he's restricted, and there's some awkwardness now that always happens in restricted free agency because players wish their teams would pay them what they're worth, but the teams have an incentive to get the best deal they can, so the teams wait for the player to get leverage from elsewhere in the market to get offers, but other teams that have cap room are reluctant to invest much in Clint Capela because they think the Rockets will match anyway, so it artificially deflates the value of the player a little bit. It's an awkward dance. The player's unhappy for a couple of weeks, but ultimately the sides come to a middle ground, and that's happened a lot throughout restricted free agency. That's my guess as to what happens here. Regardless, the Rockets are not going to lose him because they can match any outside offer, and he's too valuable. Without Clint Capela, you're not a contender. He's part of your big three. We know the insane record the Rockets had this past year when Chris Paul, James Harden, and Clint Capela all played, and the Rockets fully understand his importance. It's just a matter of exactly what the price point is. The Rockets, of course, would like to be as low as possible because that would give them more avenues to upgrade elsewhere. And if anything, you might make an argument that the Boogie Cousins deal should soften the hard feelings, if there are any, on the side of Clint Capela and his agent, because it's a reminder to the entire league of just how small the margins are in terms of trying to build a team that can compete with Golden State. Every dollar counts. In theory, yeah, it'd be nice if you could just give Capela every single penny that he could earn, all the way up to the max. But if that might cost you the ability to use the MLE later on or the ability to pursue a buyout candidate, Tillman Fertitta is not made of money. No one is. In part, the Warriors were able to get Boogie Cousins because Kevin Durant took a bit of a discount on his most recent contract. If anything, I think this deal makes clear, not just to Capella and his agent, but the entire NBA, that if you want to compete with the Warriors, you're probably going to have to sacrifice to some degree because the margins are just that thin. So it might actually help smoothen over the hard feelings, because if you want to point to Daryl Morey, Tad Brown, Tillman Fertitta, whoever you want to blame if you're on the player's side in this, look, it's pretty simple. While they're drawing such a hard line in the sand on this, because if you're competing with that in Golden State, you've got to be ruthless. You've got to make sure that every dollar you spend is getting the maximum potential effect. So I think it shows you why the Rockets are being so aggressive with Clint Capella. But in terms of should the Rockets have pursued Boogie themselves, no, because there's no way the fit would have worked. You're certainly not playing Boogie Cousins in today's NBA as a power forward, especially not coming off an Achilles tear. That's just not going to work anywhere, especially not in this system in Houston. He is a five only. And personally, even if Boogie were healthy, I think Clint Capella is the better player. He's 24 to Boogie's 28. He's a much better defensive player. And in a system in Houston that already has two guys who handle the ball a lot in Chris Paul and James Harden, I think you're a lot better off with a third wheel like Clint Capella that can do things, can impact the game without the ball in his hands, as opposed to Boogie, who, while he can be a dominant offensive player, needs the ball a lot more than Clint Capella does to be at peak effectiveness. And defensively, yes, I know he's a better rebounder, but this is not 1995 anymore. Not a better rebounder than Capella. Just saying he's a better rebounder than a lot of big men, but that does not prove that he is a plus defensive player, because he's absolutely not. Capella is better on that end, and offensively, while Boogie is a better creator, I think that Clint is a better fit in the Rockets' offense. The only pro that you could argue in Capella's case, or in Boogie's case, I should say, relative to Capella, would be the price. But the issue with the price is that if Boogie is looking for one-year deals, as explained earlier, it doesn't give you full bird rights. So yes, Boogie would sign for the exception, apparently, $5.3 million. And if you want to say, well, replace Boogie with Capella because Capella's looking for too much money, and then you can use some of those funds elsewhere. Well, Boogie is only doing it on a one-year deal, then he's going to be looking for that big payday next summer when more teams have cap room, and the Rockets would have the same constraints the Warriors have, which is only being able to offer him a deal starting at $6.4 million, because 1 year at the MLE, you don't have full bird rights after that. And as far as offering him the MLE to be a backup, forget it. Boogie is going to Golden State because he understands that there is or has been a bit of a hole, maybe not as much as NBA Twitter thinks, because guys like Kevon Looney, Jordan Bell, they fit like a glove in terms of that scheme, and we'll have to see how that translates to Boogie, a guy who wants more touches. But either way, there's at least an avenue to where he can say, I'm clearly better than the centers on this roster, and so when I'm healthy, I'm going to get to start. In Houston, that's not the case. Even healthy, I don't think he is as valuable as Clint Capella. Coming off an Achilles tear, he's definitely not. So even if Houston had offered him the 5.3 MLE and kept Capella and pitched Boogie on being a backup, the opportunity to start in Golden State was one that he was going to choose over the Rockets' offer to be a backup. So yes, the Rockets theoretically could have offered him as a backup, but it would not have made a bit of difference. The only way you could have gotten Boogie Cousins to Houston was if you were picking him over Clint Capella and giving him that starting gig, and I just think that's a terrible bet, because even when healthy, I think Clint's a more valuable player, especially in the context of the Rockets' scheme, and coming off an Achilles tear that, as mentioned earlier, can be devastating, perhaps the most devastating injury there is for an NBA player. Clint is clearly the better bet, and he's also a guy you can retain long-term. With Boogie, again, because signing for the one-year mid-level exception doesn't give you bird rights, it's essentially a one-year trial run to reestablish his value, and then he's going to go somewhere next summer that he can get closer to the max what he thinks he's worth. For Golden State, it's worth it because there's not much they're giving up other than 1 year of the MLE that could otherwise go somewhere else. It's not like they're giving up a real asset. For the Rockets, it makes zero sense to give up the future of Clint Capella, a younger player who might have already been better prior to the injury, for 1 year of Boogie Cousins, who would almost certainly leave afterward because you don't have the bird rights to retain him. So in closing, I'll leave you with this. I understand that it sucks. I understand the pessimism. I get the upside scenarios. I wish Boogie Cousins went somewhere else. But ultimately, A, there's not much that the Rockets could have done about it, and B, while there's some upside scenarios that are scary, there's some very real downside scenarios as well. The NBA title was not determined yesterday, unless you thought it already was, and if you're a fan of the Rockets, I can't imagine you thought that because you saw just how close the Rockets were to knocking out the Warriors, as they were, up 3-2 before the just ridiculous combination of Chris Paul's ill-timed hamstring injury, the historic outlier of a shooting stretch, the ridiculous officiating, et cetera, that happened in Game 6 and Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals. Do I wish I could change Boogie's decision and have him go somewhere else? Yes. Do I think it's over, or do I have any regrets in terms of what the Rockets could have done to prevent it? No. I think their approach on day 3 of free agency and beyond is the same as it was before Boogie's decision. The Rockets are all in. They're trying to take the Warriors down. And will they be successful? Hopefully, but certainly there's still some additions that need to be made on that front. And hopefully we'll have more resolution on those in the days ahead. Stay tuned. Until there's more news, though, I will sign off. Again, apologies for a lack of direct Rockets talk for a lot of this episode. We had a lot of that in both our day 1 and day 2 shows of free agency, if you want more of that. Today, I just wanted to give some more broader thoughts on the Boogie Cousins decision because it seems to be such a landmine on social media in terms of the reactions it draws and why, in my opinion, while it's not good, I also don't think it's necessarily devastating if you're a Rockets fan. It's not a death blow. I don't think the approach has changed, and I do think the Rockets are still aggressive as ever in terms of trying to build a team that can win a title this coming season against the Warriors. So until we have more moves to discuss, I will sign off. Hopefully that means we'll be having another show very soon, but stay tuned. Tomorrow is the 4th of July holiday, although that hasn't stopped major NBA deals in the past, so who knows. Anyway, until our next show, if you want more content from me, the best place to get it is on Twitter. You can follow me on there at Ben Dubose, simply my name, or the show at Locked On Rockets. Also got an email address, lockedonrockets@gmail.com, a website, lockedonrockets.com, a Facebook account at facebook.com/lockedonrockets. Always you can access our content, ask me questions about the show, suggestions as far as things we can do better, questions about the team, advertising inquiries. If there's anything we can do to make this a better podcast for you, the diehard Rockets fan, you, the human being, whatever the case may be, don't hesitate to reach out. We'd absolutely love to hear from you. Also, subscribe if you haven't already. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Megaphone, wherever you listen to your mediums, there's a good choice that we're on there because we're part of a great network of shows at the Lockdown Podcast Network. Subscribe to us. That's how you'll get alerts right when there's a new episode that comes out. This time of year, there could easily be breaking news at any moment. So subscribe to us. You'll get alerts when something new is ready. And if you would also be kind enough to leave us a 5-star review, that's how we can look attractive to potential advertisers and make the business model work as by far the most regular podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. So once again, thanks to all of you guys for listening. Enjoy your 4th of July, and thanks as always for tuning in here at Locked On Rockets, your home for podcast discussion of Houston Rockets basketball.